This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom, which you can also hear on my website, spotlightonfreedom.com. Over the past 2 weeks, we have deconstructed contemporary liberalism, the living of which I have referred to as old guard liberalism. Old guard liberalism focuses on liberty and individuality while diminishing or neglecting social responsibility. Further, even where old liberals did have consistent moral values, they lived them either inconsistently or in ignorance of or isolation from the contemporary political realities, such as the plans and actions of conservatism. In acting in these ways, old guard liberalism showed itself to be ill-equipped to deal with the very serious threat to democracy posed by radical conservatives today. It's the radical conservatives, those who espouse corporate control of government for their own sake, that now control the government of the United States. Their use of liberal values against liberalism has caused liberals to go on the defensive, or worse, to retire into caves and do navel-gazing instead of fight back. But if we are truly liberal, we should not be afraid of the fight. Our values are better than conservative values for reasons almost too numerous to name here. What we have to do is not only retune our values, but we have to prepare for the mother of all battles, the battle for taking our government back from corporate conservative interests. The next few commentaries will be devoted to laying the groundwork for what the new liberals need to engage in, a war that has been fought for several decades and nearly won by the radical neocons. First, let us examine the current state of the war for our democratic form of government. As a result of the neocon rule that began in the 1980s, we no longer live in a real democracy, but in a plutocracy. That means that the rich run the government for themselves, and the rest of us are left to fend for ourselves. In the commentary 2 weeks ago, I examined how liberal thinking had contributed substantially to this movement. But now let us examine the actual movement that declared war on liberal democracy. The neoconservatives, led most recently by such reprobates as Karl Rove, planned from the start never to debate liberalism, but rather to crush it. This movement began during the Reagan presidency and continues unabated today. As Thomas Frank has pointed out, it included such tactics as union busting, undermining defense lawyers, defanging the Democratic Party by making their proclaimed values sound old, worn, and ridiculous, and by privatizing Social Security. If Frank is right about these being the main issues of corporate conservatives, it would seem that the only thing left for the complete victory of radical conservatism would be the privatizing of Social Security. If that happens, the war is over and liberals will never, ever regain the government. This is because of the extreme economic costs that will occur if Social Security is privatized. Once the money in our common coffers gets put into Wall Street for the upper 1% of our population to take for themselves, we will never get it back, because it amounts to trillions of dollars that cannot be shuffled back and forth into the federal coffers once it's placed in private, pirate hands. So liberals had better get tough and get mean if our beloved form of democratic government is going to survive. What I mean by getting tough is that we had better re-examine and recommit ourselves to an updated form of our liberal morality. What I mean by getting mean is that we need to see ourselves in a war. It is not a war of our choosing, but it is a war that has been declared on us since the 1980s, and we have all but lost. So what I would like to do in the next few commentaries is to suggest some ways for us to get tough and get mean. I will use the classic text, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and combine it with a reflection on what contemporary liberal values we should be guided by if we are going to win this war. We will end several commentaries down the road with some suggestions as to how we might begin to battle. First, then, let us combine Sun Tzu with liberal values. The very first thing the ancient warrior stated in his book was that when preparing for war, one must ask, who has the better moral law? So let's answer this question. I have already defended the thesis that old guard liberalism has lost most of the battles for the cause, so the new guard will have to redefine and refocus the old values to regain the moral ground lost by individualist liberalism. If we follow the instructions from Sun Tzu, that is task number one. So who has the better morality, neoconservatives or liberals? Obviously, I will defend the latter camp, and for several reasons. The first and primary reason liberalism has more to offer in the way of a superior moral code that Sun Tzu looks for is that liberalism's primary values and secondary values are in much closer alignment than our conservative values. This makes liberal values more consistent, more applicable for people, and much more humane than neocon values ever were. This is where we will start our reflections next week. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.